This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this guy. He's got a black eye, and he's talking to his friend. And his friend says, "What happened to you?" And the first guy says, "Oh, you mean the black eye. Well, I was sitting in the sports bar cheering for my favorite team. And all of a sudden, the biggest guy in the room tells me to shut up. Unfortunately, I thought he said, stand up." I guess the moral of the story is, when somebody tells you to shut up and you stand up instead, you just might pay for it. Strange as it may sound, this theme of whether to stand up or shut up runs all through Holy Week. Here we are at Palm Sunday, celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And the first thing we read about is this story of blind Bartimaeus. Somehow, even though he was blind, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He'd gotten clued in somehow as to who this rabbi was and the signs and wonders that he'd been doing all through Galilee. And by now, our gospel story tells us that there's a pretty good-sized crowd that's following Jesus around. I kind of imagine a lot of noise, a lot of commotion as this big group is leaving Jericho. And just outside the city gates, this group passes by Bartimaeus. And above the din of the crowd, Bartimaeus begins to make some noise of his own. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He must have been making quite a fuss. Because you notice how it says in our gospel lesson, the crowd turns on him. They tell him to shut up. And if anything, this makes old Bartimaeus even more determined. I can picture him sort of waving his arms, yelling, and trying to get Jesus' attention. And all the while, the crowd is telling him to shut up. It's a remarkable scene when you think about it. Here, Jesus is, just days away from a cruel death. You'd think he'd have plenty on his mind other than an old beggar pleading for mercy. And then there's Bartimaeus. He's blind, but he recognizes Jesus for who he is. The merciful Son of David, a king who brings healing and salvation. And no matter how much the crowd tries to silence him, he will not comply. He shouts and shouts, and finally, Jesus sends for him. When he does, Bartimaeus stands up. He springs to his feet. He throws off the cloak, the only thing he has, and rushes to meet Jesus. Jesus' very own death is just days away, and he knows it. Yet he shows how deeply concerned he is about the everyday life of everyday people by bringing wholeness to a blind beggar. "Go," he says, "your faith has made you well." And just think about the way that Bartimaeus demonstrates that faith. He demonstrates that faith by standing up when everyone around him was telling him to shut up. He demonstrated it when, face to face with Jesus, he asked to be healed, never doubting for a second that Jesus could do it. When Luke tells the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he never mentions Bartimaeus. But Luke does talk about the crowd joyfully singing praises as they come into the city. And you know, when all this singing and carrying on is taking place, the Pharisees, they just can't take it. They come to Jesus and say, "Teacher, tell your disciples to stop." In other words, shut those people up. But Jesus won't have any part of it. Remember how he answers that demand? He says, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out loud." Here, at least for a brief time, we get a sense of what we've come to call Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They're singing, shouting, celebrating. People spread their cloaks out before him. They wave palm branches. Everyone loves a parade. But the truth is, that sensation is short-lived. And we begin to feel there's kind of a dilemma, a built-in conflict in Palm Sunday. Take a look at the front of your bulletin and you'll see what I mean. This Sunday has two names: the Sunday of the Passion and Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, we love. We wave our palms and welcome the King. It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we also know this Sunday as the Sunday of the Passion. Passion, as in suffering. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, he's also entering into his suffering. It's only a matter of days until his crucifixion. He may be entering Jerusalem as a king, but he's a king who will wear a crown of thorns. We can't help but struggle with, you know, with this idea that the crowds who cheer and shout for Jesus on Palm Sunday are the very same people who jeer and shout for his crucifixion just 5 days later. And yet, if we have eyes to see, we recognize by the very way Jesus chooses to enter the city that he will be a different kind of king. And this is the essence of Palm Sunday. We can wave our palms and welcome Jesus as king, but we have to recognize that Jesus is king on his own terms. Jesus chooses to be a king who will suffer for his people. We pay homage to our king at the foot of a cross. We know that the crowds were hoping for a king who would ride into Jerusalem on a stallion, a great war horse, who would rally the people of Israel and throw out the hated Roman occupiers. Instead, Jesus enters Jerusalem as the prophet Zechariah had written over 300 years before. From Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The true king of Israel comes not on a war horse, but on the foal of a donkey. He's humble and willing to suffer for the sake of his people. And folks, I have to think that this humble entry into Jerusalem would not have been lost on the Romans. A young rabbi riding on a donkey, surrounded by a group of pilgrims coming into the city to celebrate Passover, that's no threat to the Roman legion. Mark's gospel says nothing about the Romans trying to break up the parade. So here's yet another clue that Jesus is a different kind of king. And if we pay attention to that very last part of our gospel lesson, this becomes very, very obvious. After Jesus comes into Jerusalem and the cheering crowds sort of wander away, Mark tells us that Jesus goes right up to the temple. It's almost as if he's scouting out that place where the real battle is going to take place. Kings command armies and wage battles to conquer territory. Jesus' battle, his real conflict, it's not with the occupying Romans, but with the religious powers that be. Their power base was the temple. When Jesus sizes up the temple at the end of our gospel lesson, he sees it for the corrupt thing that it had become. The religious leaders of Jesus' time knew, and they were experts in the letter of the law. But they had lost sight completely of the spirit of the law. Israel never became the light to the nations that God intended them to be. Through the prophet Isaiah, God said, "My house should be called a house of prayer for all peoples." But that's not the way it went. Instead, Israel had turned in on itself and separated themselves from the rest of the nations. Jesus' real struggle with the religious powers that be was about who now had authority to speak to the people God's word. Israel hadn't lived into God's purposes, and Jesus' whole ministry was about proclaiming and demonstrating that the kingdom of God had come, that he was the ruler, and that God was doing a new thing. That was a word that the religious leader of Jesus' day just couldn't accept. So what did they do? They determined to shut Jesus up. How dare this upstart come into their city and their temple and try to convince the people that God was doing something new? And here we kind of come full circle and we face this dilemma of Palm Sunday. Jesus speaks God's word to the people and the powers that be are threatened. They convince themselves it would be better for them and for the whole nation if they silenced Jesus. They want to shut him up. But Jesus does not comply. He insists on speaking up. Jesus comes right into the temple court and not only offers new teachings to the people, but then he starts to portray the powers that be for the hypocrites they really are. And not only does Jesus speak up, he stands up. He takes charge of the temple. He drives the money changers out. He won't let the corruption continue. And all the while, it seems like the crowds adore Jesus. It's hard for us to get our head around this. How can it be that in a matter of days, the ones who cheer him want him crucified? And how can it be that Jesus, the King, goes willingly and obediently to the cross? The truth is, all through his ministry, Jesus tells us that he reigns in the kingdom of God, but that he will be a different kind of king. In his kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. In his kingdom, the king doesn't lord power over his subjects. Jesus is a different kind of king. Maybe he sums it up best from that passage in our gospel lesson. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so we struggle a little bit with Palm Sunday. And it's understandable. We enjoy Jesus' triumphal entry into the city, but we know that he's also entering into his passion. Jesus is a different kind of king who's willing to suffer on behalf of his people. Let us give thanks that our King prayed for the very ones who tried to silence him forever. Let us give thanks that when he was lifted up, Jesus did indeed draw all people to himself. And finally, on this Palm Sunday, let us give thanks that we have a King that not only accepts our cheers, but who forgives our jeers. Amen.